Did you fall out of the stupid tree this morning? You do not know who you represent. You do not know the spirit you are of. God didn't want to destroy mankind. God wanted to restore mankind. And destruction does not restore. And Jesus was trying to get them to understand, you don't need to call that down. Why? Because he did not see fire coming down. He was led by the Spirit. And the Spirit said, what are they doing? They think they're pulling a magic trick. They still had vengeance and judgment in their hearts. And we need to understand that God is about mercy. He is about grace. Judgment is coming. It is coming. But right now, we are still with mercy and grace. And we have to believe that in faith that it is coming. We can look at the government. We can look at all the world's government. We're being threatened with nukes again. You know what we do? We keep living by faith. Every day, we get up, we brush our teeth, hopefully. And we keep moving. We get up. I don't feel like getting up. You know what? Neither did I. I did not feel like getting up. But we keep moving. We keep going forward. We do not back off. We live in the forward motion. We let God be God. Well, God, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Get up, for starters. You're not going to fulfill his will laying in bed. You're only going to fulfill his will by getting up, have your cup of coffee. There's nothing wrong with it. Get your day started. Talk to the Lord. Converse with him like he's your friend. You know, he did call you his friends, right? We used to sing a song, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. But there's something else that goes along with that being a friend of God. He said, I call you friends if you do as I command. My friends are a really, really tight group. And when I say tight, I mean I only let X amount in as friends. And it doesn't mean that I don't trust everybody. It means I have to be careful. I have to be careful. Jesus only had 12 people around him. Hundreds wanted to follow him. But only a handful got called. So when we're living by faith, we don't know what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen that morning. There are days I wake up, I'm like, well, I know what my plans are, Lord. But not my will, but yours. Lead me and guide me, Holy Spirit. Open my eyes to the opportunities I need to take. And you know, if we do that, he'll lead us. We have to be listening to the still small voice. You know, the same one that told me to cut down a certain tree. Listen to that voice. But it's the same voice that told me to start this church. It was the same voice that told me to drive down this road, to turn in this driveway, only to have the owner of the building pull in behind me. He had to wait for me to turn. If we're going to live by faith, you have to be obedient. You have to sometimes cut things out of your life. And sometimes you have to take a step without knowing it's there. Oh, I'm just going to tell you right now, 99.9% of the time, you're taking the step before you know what's there. I'll just tell you straight up. It's kind of like walking through the woods in the dark. There's obstacles. But you put your foot down. Find the solid ground. And if you've never done that, let me tell you what, it's a thrill. Let me tell you what you do. You put your foot down, and if you're not solid, you reposition your foot. You move it. Okay, got that. Anybody ever go to do something? Let's say you go to buy a car. Oh, you're excited, right? I mean, buying a new car is always an exciting time. I mean, especially if it's, you know, nobody's ever done anything in the seats. Nobody's ever broke it in. You get in there and you got that new car smell. You're sniffing in chemicals, by the way. But you got that new car smell. Oh, it smells so good. And you feel so good. Then you go to talk to the finance man. Good feeling gone. Is a good feeling gone because of sticker shock? Or is a good feeling gone because God said, run away? Run away. That's not what I got for you. That's not my will. We were trying to buy a van one time. I was working it. I'm trying to get this car dealer to, you know, work with me. I'm on the phone and I'm talking and I'm outside and I'm trying to, you know, be my best wheeler dealer type guy, and I'm going on, and man, I'm wedging my toe in that door. I'm like, God, we could use a van. Wedging my toe in that door, getting that, come on, why won't this door open? About that time that door went open and wham, right back on my foot spiritually. My pride got hurt. Folks, we can't force the will of God, but we can flat out stop it. You can get out of obedience with God and you can stop his blessings in your life. Living by faith is every day. Let me get my stuff turned on here. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's that confidence that you have that God is going to do something, that God is going to move. And if you can't get that confidence, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What are you listening to? Well, you know, Pastor, I need the news. Well, I get the news too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you got to read the news. But you don't have to immerse yourself in all these opinion ops. Get the facts and let God open the doors and show you what's going on. But that's not what the news is anymore. I don't know when it changed, because when I left home, the news was the news. Somewhere along the line, I came home to get married right after Desert Storm. And CNN was just this crazy thing all the time. And my grandfather was just glued to the TV. He would not turn the stupid thing off. And all he did was worried. Worried, 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 worried. Why are you worried? You're in Ohio. The war is over there. I'd like to say he was worrying for me, but he wasn't. So then when the second bout came out, he did the exact same thing. Wouldn't shut it off. And guess what? It was the same thing. Every 15 minutes. Are you listening to the word of God like that? Are you getting the word of God into you every 15 minutes like you do the news? I have no problem with secular music. I really don't. I know a lot of preachers will be bashing me right now about that. I listen to country. I listen to rock. But I watch what I listen to. I'm making sure that I've got good stuff, because there's certain songs I'll feel anger rising up in me. And I'm like, God, why did my heart rate suddenly increase? Why do I want to go nuclear? It's because of that. So right now, I've got a really good thing going on my Pandora station. It plays 90% Christian. I got Blood Good. I got Messiah Prophet. These are bands you have no idea who I'm talking about. For some of you, there's a little bit of Petra. There's some Chris Tomlin. There's Benny Hester. I find that God puts those songs, it's random, I don't set it, and he puts those songs right where I need them to be. We have got to make sure that we are listening to more about the Word of God than we are anything else. That's how we fuel our faith. We don't have it. Well, you know, Pastor, we're going through a dark time. Well, let me tell you about your dark time. Let me tell you how God took me through a dark time. Let me show you how God took somebody who had $3,000 and bought this building. No money down, remodeled it in October, November, halfway through December. 2.5 months with $3,000. We weren't going to have carpet. We're like, well, we'll stain the floors. We had a tube heater, like you walk in through Walmart, you know, the one that cook your brains if you stand right underneath of it. It was infrared heaters. It ran right down through the middle. And the closer you get to them, the hotter they get. This is 3 foot higher than this. So you're really close up here. And this was the exhaust end. So, I mean, all the heat was coming through there. We didn't have air conditioning. Anybody remember those days? You come to church, boy, it might as well have been your great-great-grandma's old Baptist church that didn't believe in heat or air conditioning. And, you know, you got your little church fans, which I see you ladies got your little fans out. When I start seeing six of them, that's when we'll turn the fans up a little bit more. We have a lot of ladies in different stages in their lives. We didn't have anything. But God said, take the step. I was telling somebody the other day, you know, by the way, living by faith doesn't mean there's no obstacles. Did you know that? It doesn't mean that suddenly, there's the highway, you get to walk down and no problems. Living by faith means you're going to take every day, every step, every hit as it comes. Because maybe a month, I think is what it was, or a couple weeks anyhow. We'd started doing work in here, trying to get stuff cleaned up, and we're like, hey, we kind of need written verification that we're not doing this work in vain. Previous owner said, write something up and I'll sign it today. I'm at home, jumped on the computer, typed up a real quick contract that we were going to buy this on land contract, da 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 da. He wasn't going to sell it out from underneath of us. Great. I go out, jump in my truck, turn the key on my truck, and a wire burned in half. Truck wouldn't start. I'm like, what's going on? I got to get this over. He's leaving in a couple minutes. I had forgot all about this until the other day. There I come across Delaware Street on Joshua's BMX bike. I know you've seen grown men riding them all the time up and down the roads here. I don't know how on earth they do it. Though that stroke is just too short, and you know, I mean, nothing works for a grown man. But I was on my way across to get that contract signed, doggone it, and we got that contract signed. And 15 years later, the buildings are connected, buildings are remodeled, buildings are paid for. That's faith. That's God. In a time when churches are closing down all around us. I know of churches that never reopened. I know of churches that just couldn't handle it even after things were lifted. They just couldn't survive. But I'm telling you, God is faithful. And if we're faithful in what he's called us to do, we are pleasing to him. You don't need to be out having a worldwide revival to be pleasing to God. You have to live every day by faith, doing what he has instructed you to do. I do not have a magic crystal ball that I can look into Phil's life and say, Phil, here's what I see coming. No, I'm going to say, Phil, the devil hates you. You better be walking in faith. You had better be walking in faith. Know that God told you to turn down that street. Know that God told you to get on that roof. I've had a few of them. And know that when God tells you not to do something, you don't do it. That's how I rode my first roof down. I thought I was faster than gravity. Guess what? Nope. Joshua remembers that day. He was about 6. I cut the edge of that roof, half that roof off, and it was hung up on one board. And I didn't want to get the saw out, and so I just stood up there on the edge. Here's what I was doing. Standing up there on the edge on this shed roof of a barn, and I did this. And when I went down the second time, well, it fell with me. And I wrote it down. Now, Joshua was running around the barn, heard the crash, and he came running. He was scared. And there I was laughing my butt off. I just wrote a roof down. Of all the things stupid I've done in my life, I've never done that. And I held onto the chainsaw. Fortunately, it was not running. I'm not that dumb. I like my legs, arms, and fingers. But you see, if we're doing things, God has got to be the originator. I believe it's Hebrews 12. I can't give you the exact verse, but he said he is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the beginning of it. Do you know what author and finisher means? He's the author. He writes it, right? And he's the editor. He's the one perfecting it. He's the one who goes through and says, oh, got a mistake there. You need a period there. You need an exclamation point there. You need this. You need that. And he's the one making sure that it all goes back and gets fixed. See, because each step of our faith, we learn, right? He takes us continually one degree of glory to the next. And as we keep moving forward, he will meet us there. He will finish it. He'll put the exclamation point at the end of Brenda's sentence. Say, Pat, you need a question mark there. Karen, you need a period. You need a period right there. Or he'll say, Angela, that's a run-on sentence. And just so you know, God doesn't operate in text. Yeah, we need punctuation very badly. I've read some texts, I'm like, what? What are they trying to say? Put a comma in there, please. For the love of all that is holy, put a comma. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. At this point, he's talking about people like Noah, Enoch, Abraham, Moses. He didn't list them all. The writer of Hebrews says, you know, if I could, we could just keep going. What about David and Samuel and Barak? Y'all might want to reread that. It does say Barak, which means blessed. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The spoken word of God went out and they were framed. Now here's something, I wanted to bring this up. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We're on this side of that creation. Was anybody there? How many of y'all remember this? The old song? This is an old song. Were you there? Okay, y'all know, most of you know what I'm talking about. Were you there when they crucified my Lord, right? And you know what I would say? Because, you know, there's a little bit of smart aleck in me. Just a little bit. No, I wasn't. I wasn't there. I didn't see him crucified. I didn't see him risen. But I believe in the faith that I have that he did that. Just like what the writer of Hebrews was saying. We believe on this side of it, in retrospect, looking back, that this is what God did. That out of nothing, he spoke Jupiter into existence. That by faith we believe that God created the path that all of our planets run on. The cycles. That he hung the stars. Here's a crazy thought, people. How do the stars stay put? They don't have little jets keeping them in place. They're just there. And they move perfectly in timing. Well, you see, through billions of years of evolution, tell you what, I'm going to throw this rock, and by evolutionary beliefs, it should evolve and become a planet. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to throw that rock, and it's going to land on Johnny's head, because that's as far as I can throw these days. And Johnny just looked like he needed picked on. But that's not what happened. God hung the stars in their places so that Canis Majoris would always be in the same place, or Canis Minoris would always be in its same place. Oh, I'm sorry, the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper. Which, by the way, they're bears. They're not cups. Or that Orion's belt would stay in place. Because, you know, Orion doesn't need to lose his pants. So God made sure that it was always there. Remember, it's why he told Job. God had it named. He called it Orion's belt. So how hard is it to believe that God can take care of you tomorrow? How hard is it to believe that should Putin be dumb enough to launch a missile, that God can't turn that thing right back around or shut it down right now? Do you know how many missiles Hezbollah has launched into Israel? The news doesn't report them anymore. But out of Lebanon, they have been launching missiles at Israel. Now, mind you, okay, let's say I'm a terrorist leader, and I want to teach you guys how to shoot these missiles. I'm not going to waste my time not teaching you. I'm going to teach you how to aim them. Why? Because we want effect, right? We want the most damage for that missile. But these missiles are being launched out of Lebanon. Let's say over there, that's Jerusalem. I'm over here, and I'm lobbing that missile over here. These missiles are doing this. They're going to the desert, falling harmlessly. Nobody trains their people to miss a target like a city by miles. And the only thing that got hurt? A couple rocks. But yet when Israel returned fire, their missiles never wavered. Now, people, even in Israel, probably saying, because believe it or not, a lot of Jews do not believe there's really a God. They're Jew by tradition. God's going to wake them up. Because he had a promise to a man named Abraham, who was old. The first thing the man did was he left his home. He left his home and he went somewhere where he had never been. He didn't even know the land existed, except maybe tales of people talking about it. But God said, I'm going to give it to you. Now, I'm not a farmer. But if God says, Art, I want you to go out and I want you to walk. I want you to walk ground. And everywhere your feet go, that's going to be yours. And it's going to be an inheritance to your children. You better believe I'm going to spend as much time as I can walking. Abraham wasn't a farmer. But he walked a lot of places. By the way, y'all do realize he went to Egypt during that time. The Sinai Peninsula. He went to a lot of places. And he believed that God would give it to his children. So this little tiny sliver that we gave to Israel back in 1948 and that they've been fighting for every inch of it still isn't all of the Israel that we knew of Jesus' time. And it's not all the Israel that God promised Abraham. So there's a big promise, and that's why God is faithful. Now, Abraham's descendants, I would say they probably are like the stars of the heavens. You can't. They're in every country. He's got descendants everywhere, every race, every color. God is keeping his promise. And Abraham believed him for that. He trusted him for that. I mean, I'm trying to think. I think Abraham was about 75 when he took off. Okay, there's only a handful of people in here in that age group, in that age range. You know, I'll ask him because he's related. God comes and tells you to say, Bob, I want you to leave your home, leave your family, and I want you to go at your age. Think about that. I mean, 50 years ago, woohoo! Now you're like, are you kidding me, Lord? Now? Now? Oh, by the way, you don't have any kids either, so you don't have to worry about leaving them behind because you ain't got any. But I'm going to give it to your kids. And by the way, you're the one going to bear them. Get it out. And that's what Sarah and Abraham were doing. They trusted God. The way the writer of Hebrews puts it, and Abraham himself being almost dead. Look at it. That's what he said. He said he was an old man. His body was not cooperating anymore. And Sarah had been barren. And yet they still believed God. They believed in something they couldn't see. Why? Because the physical part had been shut down. Abraham was about 75. Caleb was 80. And he said, Lord, I want my mountain. Now we're getting, now you ready to go mountain climbing? However, on this point, Bob, you have a whole bunch of kids. And they are going to do most of that work. They're going to go kick the enemies off of that mountain. Caleb was promised that turkey when he was 20. And yet, he didn't get it until he was 80. He continued to trust God. He believed God. And that's what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen. We have to trust God. We have to believe God through every day, through everything we go through. It's not going to be easy, is it? Because Caleb, in order to receive his inheritance, had to fight, combat. And not only did he do that, but when he went and he said, hey, God promised me that mountain back there. Joshua was like, hey, how about you continue helping us move forward? And then we'll come back and help you. He agreed. Went. But he wanted his mountain at 80. By the way, Moses wasn't a spring chicken either when he came back. I believe he was about 80 when he led the children out. So God's not done with us at whatever age we are. He doesn't say, well, you know what? Y'all have lived a good long life. Just go here to the pasture field. No. It just means he's got something else for you to do. Because let's pay attention. God took Moses out of being a shepherd to leading people. We don't know what Caleb did. But what he ended up doing was kicking butt and taking names. Abraham, a little bit of the same thing, honestly, because remember, when Lot got kidnapped, Abraham raised an army. And he went after those kings that took him. And they took everything back. So, think about that. Man was pushing in his 80s at that point. He lived to be 125. God was faithful to him. So don't ever say, well, God can't use me, or I'm too young. Paul told Timothy, don't let people use your age against you. Do you know how many people have tried that garbage with me in 21 years? Oh, sonny, you just come here now. I got underwear older than you. My thought is, you need to buy some new underwear. I always wanted to say that to somebody in the Marine Corps. I don't know about the other branches, but that was one of the things. You go in there and I could have a sergeant or a staff sergeant. Boy, I got underwear older than you. The smart aleck in me wanted to rise up and say, well, maybe you ought to go buy some new ones. But I didn't, because I didn't want guard duty. But now I can say that. But by faith, we believe. We hear it. We come to church and it stirs our faith. Why? Because I'm sitting here telling you today that this building is because of God. My dreams are because of God. My dreams have changed. I had my dreams and then God had his goals. And he kind of brought them together, but more to his side than mine. And as long as I'm doing what he says to do, I'm happy. Well, you know, walking your salvation ain't about happiness. Well, then where's the joy of my salvation supposed to come from? It's supposed to come from being obedient to God, and I find joy in that. It's not always easy, but it's always worth it. You know, I've been listening to the sports things for local teams here lately. And I don't know what kind of training took place for these young men from Mount Gilead this year. But it's what, the first time since what, 03 or 08 that they had a winning season. Some of them kids weren't even alive. What, it was at 08? His senior year. Okay. Okay, 04. So, point being, do you think them boys are looking back saying, oh, Coach Reed, you're just a mean jerk, you're just too hard on us and all that stuff? Are you kidding me? They're reveling right now. When you get through the other side, you don't look back and say, oh, man, you're just an awful person. You're so hard on us. If you want to be winners, guess what? You got to suck it up. I look back, people have asked me over the years, Art, would you re-enlist and would you go back in the Marine Corps knowing what you know? Absolutely. 100 times. I would. I might do a few things different, but I would do it all over again. It was the worst time of my life. Not being able to say what you wanted to say. Not being able to go to the bathroom when you wanted to go to the bathroom. Having to wear 3-day-old sweaty underwear. Y'all think about that for a minute. That's nasty. Your socks can stand up. Why? Because you only have 4. And 3 of them went to the laundry. which, by the way, is washed with everybody else's stinky stuff. And a great big washer the size of that sound booth. Your whites, your greens, they all come out green. But it was the, I look back and talking with Doc Barclay one day, because he had been a Marine drill instructor, and I said, you know, I said, I looked back and I said, I saw what they did. I said, they were rough on us. They didn't treat us like human beings. And we spent way too much time kicking sand on each other in 90-degree weather. And I just was just talking with him one day, and he said, you know, he said, then your drill instructors did their job good. Because they were rough. They were unapologetic. Because they were training Marines, not Boy Scouts. And I look back, and I know there's times I might be a little bit rough up here. I try to, what's the word I'm looking for? Temper, yes, I wanted to say tamper it, but that's temper it. I try to temper it when I'm talking with an individual. But up here, you need to understand there's a boldness that comes upon me through the Holy Spirit that I may say something that might just haul off and slap you upside of your head. That's the Holy Spirit. And I'm just the vessel. But the truth is, I love you just the same. I love you the same way my drill instructors loved us, even though they couldn't say it. And they wouldn't say it. So you need to understand, when I'm telling you to walk by faith, you have to take every day as a new day. What are we going to get into today? Don't know. I haven't gone out of the house yet. By the way, you got to leave your house. You got a job? Go to work. Oh, but I don't think God's leading me. Yeah, shut up. Just zip it. Tired of hearing it. Get out of your house. Get out of your world. Trust me, preaching is not my world, or was not. Hiding away was my world. I was good in a sound booth. I was good in the back shadows. I didn't want to be up here. You know why? Because if you think that when there's a sound mistake and everybody looks at the sound man, be up here. 21 years of lies. And God somehow keeps, I hear people talk about the lies going around, and most of them he keeps away from me. Because you know why? There's still that side over here. Actually, we'll say it's over here since that's where the Eagle Globe and Anchor is. It wants to lean me this way and clench the fist. But God says, come here, boy. Straighten up and fly right. Pray for them. You want to stop this garbage that's going on? Start praying. You want to stop the garbage going on in your family? You had better start praying and expecting results. There's a part in 12, I think I'm going to have to preach about it. Now I see, because it carried on about faith. And he talked about disciplining, chastising. So thank you, Lord. But I do want to let you know that it has been, it's always an exciting time. As I watch each of you, I've seen you step out in faith. I've seen you change. I've seen you stand up to get knocked back down. And if you couldn't get back up, somebody was there to help you. That's what a family's for. I know it's used so many times, but a church is like a family. If you don't feel like it, ask yourself why. Do I not feel like part of the family? Am I involved? You ain't got to, I don't need you up here. I got my people. I don't need you heading something up, but maybe I need you to pull some weeds. Maybe I need you to pick up the piece of garbage you just threw on the floor. We know who runs the vacuum. Let's see, Michelle's not in here. She's with the kids, so. You see what I'm saying? If we are going to be a family, we have to start acting like it. We see somebody down, we pray for them. We're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, not our nosiness. Did I say that right? Did anybody misinterpret what I meant? We don't need to know the details. We need to know somebody's hurting and they need prayer. Because sometimes if you knew the details, it would scare you. You know, as I'm looking around, honestly, at all the people in here, you know, I know a lot about your lives, some of the things you've been through. Some of you don't know I know what I know. Because there's one thing God has helped me to be, and that's a good listener. Well, you're eavesdropping. Listen, if you're talking loud enough where I can hear it, I'm not eavesdropping. Eavesdropping is what we used to do back in the day, in the 70s, when we had that party line, and you'd try to lift, get it up there, and you try to lift the receiver up. And somebody says, hang on, somebody's on the other, somebody's picked up. And then you got your hand over the microphone part. How do I get this down? I did figure out it does make a lot less noise if you take the speaker out. See, I can be sneaky. Just saying. Be glad God got hold of me and got me saved. Because I can be sneaky that way. That's not family. A family loves each other. It prays for each other. It's there for each other. You need a word of encouragement? It's there. Be willing to say something. Even if it's, you know what, we don't really know each other, but I love you, and I'm praying for you. And until Christ returns, or we all take our own journeys. Either way, I'm going to continue the course. I'm going to walk each day by faith. I'm going to trust that God's going to lead me. He's going to guide me. And even when I'm disobedient, He still will protect me. Because even though the tree hit me and broke my back, it didn't kill me. It didn't paralyze me. There's been so many times and things that I've looked and seen, oh my Lord, You protected me. It could have been worse. I got some things I can share with you. Some of you are like, oh, I don't believe that happened. We'll talk about it. Maybe God will let me, because I've been regaled with some stories of when I was a child. Some things God did. By the way, my parents weren't saved. And He still did it. You know why? For today. For tomorrow. Because I was called to His purpose. And I answered the call. So whatever you're doing, whatever it is you're believing for, make sure that it's the will of God. I want $1 billion. What are you going to do with $1 billion? Well, I'm going to give my tithe to the church. Okay. That's great. What strings come with it? Shouldn't be. It's your tithe. That belongs to God, not to me. Just because the tithe goes up doesn't mean I get a pay raise. How many, I will end with this. There was a lottery winner. I think it was a Powerball. The guy won it in West Virginia. I know the area. It's actually the Nitro and Cross Lanes areas where he was from. He attended an Assemblies of God church down there. Played the lottery and he won. Well, that's a sin. Yeah, we're not getting in on that right now. But, I mean, he won like $100 million. Went to his pastor. Told his pastor, he said, I'm going to tithe off of this. But you're not getting it all. And the only way you're going to get any is if you hire this particular accounting company to come through and go through your books and make sure that you're on the up and up. They did it. I mean, if they were getting half of it, it's still $5 million for a little country church in West Virginia in a town called Nitro, which got its name because they made nitroglycerin. And miraculously, it's not a crater. Fast forward 5 or 6 years, the guy's back in the news. He ain't got much money left. And he had been at a strip bar with about $100,000 in a briefcase and got rolled by two prostitutes. Had the audacity to turn it in. And yet he was dictating to the preacher holiness. What would $1 million do to you? Make you think you're in charge. I've said it once and I'll say it before. You tithe, God will honor you. That's his promise. But I'm not moved by how much you tithe. If you're a jerk, I'm going to tell you you're a jerk. If you're in sin, I'm going to tell you you're in sin. It does not matter. The only time of the year, and the only reason I ever knew who was tithed the most, and I haven't done it for a long time because of this, was because I had to print out the things because she didn't know the program, and every one of them had to be done individually so you get your receipt. That was the only way I knew. And I said, huh, go figure. Go figure. Oh, by the way, you know what else I did? I looked in their lives. I said, I see the blessings. Go figure. People that I knew made more. We tithe faithfully, preacher. You haven't tithed in 4 months. God didn't say, gentlemen, ask your wife if you're unfaithful to her 4 months out of the year, if she's going to be faithful to you. And then you have your answer. Just saying. That's God, not me. But it is an honor. It's an honor to serve with you. It's not always easy. Sometimes not always fun. But if we learn to make it fun, that's how you get the jobs done the fastest, isn't it? Make a game out of it. Make it fun. Do you ever wonder why they marched and sang songs on those forced marches? Those forced marches aren't easy. You're carrying combat gear, you're carrying all these stuff, so you're carrying almost 100 pounds extra. And God forbid you are a mortarman or a machine gunner. Because a barrel on a Mall Deuce is, what, 75 pounds? 40-some? Okay. Okay, so it's the whole gun that weighs 80. You had to split it in half because it's this long. One guy had to carry an extra 40 pounds on top of all of his stuff. Point being, the military learned to make a song about it. Those road marches had a purpose, and those songs had a purpose. When you're going through something, keep moving. As Rodney Adkins said, when you're going through hell, keep moving. Don't let the devil know you're there. Keep moving. Don't camp out. All right, let's stand. By the way, I really do like that song. Because about every time I've heard it, it came at the appropriate time. Keep moving. Don't look back. Oh, wait a minute. That's scripture. Don't put your hand to the plow and look back. Keep moving forward. Every step. Well, again, based on what I saw, we're going to have a good turnout over there. We're going to bless the food here, give hospitality a chance to get over and get things finished up, say your goodbyes, say your hellos, shake a hand, be friendly, be loving. But know that we're going to eat, we're going to celebrate, we're going to have a good time. Amen? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful to be a part of your body, to be a part of your family. Lord, literally a part of your family. You call us sons and daughters now. We are your children. Lord, we are honored. Father, we hope that our lives are honoring you, that they're pleasing to you, Father. Lord, I thank you that each one of us is moving forward. Father, we're overcoming. Father, we may be even overcoming the things that we have overcome before. But we're getting back up. And we're setting our face like flint. That the wind will not change. The storms will not change. And we will keep moving. Now, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for the many, many souls we have ministered to in the last 21 years. Father, for the miracles we've seen, for the manifestations of our faith, even as we stand here in one of them. You moved us. You did this, Lord. And we honor you today. We thank you for it, Father. And in that, Father, we also thank you for the food we're about to partake of. We bless it, Lord God. Nourish it to our bodies. We pray, Lord, that you bless those who went out of their way, who took on a little extra something this week to do this. We bless them, and we thank you for them. And now, Father, I thank you. I thank you for your people. Lord God, I bless them today. Father, those who can stay and enjoy, they are blessed. Father, those who have to go, they are blessed as well. Father, move miraculously in their lives this week. Reveal yourself more and more to them as they diligently seek you. Father, may they know that they know who you are. That there be no shadow of a doubt. In Jesus' name, amen.